Today's lesson from Luke is a very familiar story, which we all know. And I could ask you to tell it back to me, and you would give me a nice synopsis. But it still warrants our spending some time with it. Because when we know things well, we sometimes miss details that should grab our attention. So I want you to think about this story. It's a parable, and it's meant to help us see things in a new light. And ask yourself, who do you identify with in this tale? Are you the father? Are you the older son? Or are you the younger son? Think about that. You don't have to give me an answer right now. But it helps to think about those roles in the story. And I call the sermon today Coming Home because this is what the younger son is doing. He's returning to his ancestral home. And this is a big deal. People organize their family affairs differently in the past. And in ancient Israel, there was this concept of the Nachalah, the inalienable birthright. And every family had land. It was passed down from generation to generation. And that way, everybody was to be provided for. What the younger son did was not only an act of filial disrespect, but it was a religious scandal. So, I think that many people would understand why the older son was kind of put out. Because here's a younger son, he's taken part of the family estate, he's liquidated it, he's sold it, and gone off to chase his dreams. Now, I think that we might want to consider doing that for a moment. Because many of us have children and we want what's best for them and we want them to be able to pursue their dreams and to have lives that are fulfilling. But maybe they make choices that we wouldn't approve of. Maybe they want to go off and do something we don't think is a good choice. Maybe they want to become an artist in the big city. Maybe they want to go become an adventurer and go to strange parts of the world. That should be okay. And I suspect everybody here, they might grumble at some point if their child chooses to do something they don't approve of, but they're still going to welcome them back home. The door's going to be open. The welcome mat will be present. But sometimes we act like the older son, who is incredibly privileged and entitled. And I heard a discussion about being privileged before. The worship service, and I think a good way of looking at that word is when you've got so much that you don't recognize it. And this older son was privileged because he was going to inherit his father's estate. He was provided for during his life. And yet he assumed that what his father had was his. Not just as inheritance, but essentially as something that he should be able to determine where it went and what was done with it. So he was saying to his father, I don't care that your other son, he doesn't refer to him as my brother, but your other son has returned. I don't care that he has come back. You are killing the fatted calf for him. You are throwing a party for him. And he doesn't say it in so many words, but the implication is that is money out of my pocket. Which is a disrespectful way of talking to his father because he's essentially saying, Dad, you're dead. All that matters to me are your bank accounts. And so we see here that the prodigal son is not just the one who left and went to a foreign country. But it's also the other son, who is lost as his younger brother was. And if we read the story carefully, we will notice that the father is a stand-in for God. Not a surprise that Jesus is telling a story that is highlighting the graciousness and goodness of God. And one of the reasons we read this story during Lent is that we can forget that we have received God's grace repeatedly throughout our lives in large ways and small. and we need to repent for ignoring that fact. Now, if you're looking at the story and wondering why the brothers behave the way they do, they're human, right? I suspect, and this is not meant to be a character judgment, that everybody in this room, me included, has experienced resentment at some time during your life. And maybe it was justified. Maybe you bore a grievance against someone. But have you let it shape your life? Have you let that anger curdle your heart? Because when you do that, you let it overtake you. And then your life becomes shaped by grievance and resentment. And that's not a healthy way to live. And that's not a faithful way to live. When we let ourselves wallow in self-pity and resentment, we are shutting ourselves off from God's grace. Now, I want to be clear about this. God's grace is freely given. He gives it to all of us. But it's something that we have to accept. God is not going to force it on us. A gift needs to be received. And this is a gift that needs to be received with an open heart. Now, we in the mainline church can often be Pharisees, right? We will tut-tut and wave our fingers and say, I can't believe those people are doing that. We don't like the fact that they're judgmental. But what are we doing? We're doing the same thing. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to tolerate or accept behavior that we find to be unacceptable. But there's a way that we can talk with others and relate to others. And if we look at our own lives, at our jobs, our community involvement, our church life, I know we can do things that tick off one another. That we can, pardon the language, piss one another off. But that's part of being in a human community. The only time you're going to find a group that's completely in agreement with one another is when you're looking at yourself in the mirror. And even then, you'll possibly find a reason to disagree. We each have our own minds. We have our own attitudes. We have our own view of things. And part of living in community is agreeing to disagree. Now, I hope that if there's anybody in this church who has any issues with me or with one another, that you won't grumble or pass messages on around in the ether or an email or the parking lot, but you'll talk to us face to face and find a way to reconcile with that person. Because Jesus was all about reconciling the world to God. Think about that. Jesus didn't just come to earth because he wanted to talk and have an audience and get likes on the first century equivalent of social media. He wanted to change the world, and he did. But we are invited to help change the world with him. And we do that by praying for our neighbors and by engaging in service projects and by holding one another. We should not be like the older brother, whose response when his father says that he's going to welcome home his younger son isn't to join his younger son in the celebration. Instead, he goes off and sulks. And sulking is not a good look. Have you ever encouraged anyone to sulk? Have you ever wanted to sulk? Yeah, possibly. But you probably didn't feel better afterwards. And you let that feeling go away. And the ability to let that feeling go away, in part, is God's grace. That we don't have to live in that well of self-despair. I normally choose a pithy quote for the front of the bulletin. But today's quote from Henry Nouwen is a bit longer. And it's worth reading the entire thing. Because I could have just gone with the very first sentence. Resentment is an inner complaint. And then I could have left you to ponder that. And that probably would have led you to the thought, what is Steve getting at? To understand that thought, you need to read the entire paragraph. And you know, I think this part is really powerful where he says that of one thing I am sure, complaining is self-perpetuating and counterproductive. And think about that. It's so easy for us to find something that bothers us. And the people I love most are the people who see a problem and then identify a solution and then actually try to implement it. There are other people who say, I just found something to complain about. And while I'm doing that, I'll find something else, and then something else, and then something else. And there's never any satisfaction in doing that. There's never any fulfillment. And when we do that, we are putting a greater and greater distance between us and God. God, instead, is the Father who is running down the road to greet us. Think about that. In the ancient world, this father figure is dressed in resplendent robes, and the father never ran down the road to greet anyone because he was supposed to be treated with respect. But this man hustles down the path to his son. Just imagine the dust being kicked up on the road. And then he throws his arms around him. He's not worried about his position and his reputation or what people are going to say. What's important to him is that his son has returned. When we stray, when we sin, we are like the younger son who is working in a field, feeding slop to pigs with no food, and we are, in a sense, dead. But we are given the opportunity to realize something is wrong. And we can turn back to God, and God will welcome us back. Nobody here has done anything so heinous that they are not going to be forgiven by God and welcomed back into his embrace with love, care, and a heart that is warm and overflowing. I've said this before and I'll say it again. You are forgiven. I am too. And God does not have to forgive us. We have no claims on God's emotions or feelings or actions or attitudes. Grace is a gift of God to you and to me. And it is a gift that we have not merited, but it is a gift that we should receive with gratitude and with open hearts. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the gift of Scripture and the stories it tells. Help us to hear your word and to turn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.